Yes, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
A desire should be of every person's heart is to see God, because that's what we desire. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 2, and we'll go to Romans 3. Ephesians 2, Romans 3. Remember, there's many sick among us and all. And Sister Anna, Brother Al called and said she was sick tonight. I know you've prayed for these. Remember Brother Dick and Brother Al, and just pray that the Lord would be with each one. There's a lot. I told them there the other night, everybody's falling down. I reckon we're getting older. Brother Collie fell and hurt his side, and Sister Johnny fell, Sister Regina fell. So everybody's just falling down. So we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to maybe get some walking sticks and start passing them out, or some kind of something to help everybody, because we're all getting so old. But just remember that. Wade Nims up. He took, him and Jim took Brother and Sister Reed up to Brother Tim Humes tonight, and they wanted them to stay over. So they're staying over there and be in the service. They can view us later. But remember them that they'll be traveling back home, okay? Ephesians 2, Romans 3. Anything that we missed? We generally miss something. I don't reckon. Okay. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace, Lord, unto us. Thank you for the hour. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for, Lord, being you. And we just ask you to guide each one of us and help us forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and help us to walk in you. And, Lord, let your grace and love be sufficient. Bless us tonight as we try to minister your word to your people and just open our hearts. Remember the ones that are sick among us, and you said it. You promised to send your word and heal us and deliver us from destruction, and we thank you. Have your way now. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and keep us in your love in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad to have her. They're not visitors. They've been here before, so but we're glad to have the girls with us tonight. Amen. Ephesians 2. We've been reading this for a while and probably keep on reading it for a while, but maybe you'll learn what it means one of these days too. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. So grace is a gift. Okay. Go to Romans 3. We'll read from verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Now notice, remission of sins that are past. There's no such thing as praying for sins in the future. That's Catholicism. That's the wrong doctrine, right? Then why would we even think about it? But sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been over and over in the services trying to get to a point in talking about salvation. Okay? I'm a firm believer in salvation. Thank God for salvation. I thank him for his truth to reveal unto us, because we had our concepts, our thoughts of salvation when we were in organized religions and out in the world and the worldly system of the church. We had our thoughts and ideas of salvation and all of that. And I believe God winked at our ignorance and you know, led some to him. But yet we look out there and see the whole religious world tonight. There's millions rejoicing services all around the world, different things, praising God. But is he there with them? No, that's a simple question to ask. Is he with them? You know, if he is, then we need to find them to be able to go with them. That's the best way I can put it. You might not like my terminologies, but you tell me some other better way of saying it. If somebody else has more truth than we have, we need to get to the truth. That's the best that I've always taught and all that I believe. All right? But see, we know that Jonah 2:9 says salvation is of the Lord. All right? We've been through over and over talking about salvation as to be an example of the natural birth, as to be water, blood, and spirit, to bring us to a natural example to understand the natural birth there, and that would be able to understand a spiritual birth, which would be water, blood, spirit, or as we pick it up into the terminologies coming up into where we're at, we're talking about justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, in doing that, then we know that the prophet taught it, and he said he had always taught three stages. He'd always taught it that way. Well, I don't understand the people of the message saying now, you know, well, it's just this. When, if we're going to believe the prophet and he says something and he gives us a directional guidance into understanding the Word of God and bringing us to a place to be able to see God's Word unveiled before us, then we should believe what he says and not what we think or what anybody else has taught. Because that way, we're not depending upon God on the basis that he sent a prophet. We're just playing along in the ranks of the message instead of believing it. I believe that when we read the prophet says this is the way it is, that's the way it ought to be. You know, I mean, that's the whole thing's always been my way and my thoughts, because that's what keeps it in that way. And he said on the future home, paragraph 78, he said he taught three processes or three stages of grace from the beginning. Well, no matter what we think of how that it looks like this or it looks like that, you know, we have no right to think that we can change any of those things or that he was wrong in what he was saying. We should settle down to the basis of saying what the prophet said is the word of God. All right? He said, well, I believe that. Well, then why do we believe so much other stuff, you know, that goes around? There's no need of doing it. All right. But see, three stages, justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said he had always taught it that way. Paragraph 86 of the future home. Always taught three processes. Well, then we should be able to put our Christian journey into what the prophet has said, and that's what I've been trying to bring, to get us to see and ask the question, do we have the biblical answer to what is the new birth? Do we have the Christian answer, I mean through the prophet's message and the Bible, as to what is the new birth? Well, I shouted, I cried, I spoke in tongues. None of that is the new birth. That's the after effect of the birth. All right? The baby getting here is the birth. Then the crying, the things like that, that is what happens after the baby gets here. Okay, solves a problem. We got what the prophet says. All right? In Ephesians 1 and 7, it talks about the forgiveness of sins. All right? Colossians 1 and 14 talks about the forgiveness of sin. Now, we ought to be the most elated people to think about that God has provided a way to bring us salvation. All right? But now he hasn't provided 20 different ways. There's one way to salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ, faith in the blood that was shed for us to pay the price. And in doing that, only in our faith in the blood can our sins be remitted. All right? Now, remember what we've been through. Okay, over it and over it. What did the prophet say? He said, you say you've accepted Jesus Christ. He said, but has he accepted you? Right. Right. Amen. Well, now, I know he's accepted me because I'm, well, all right. That's between you and God. But that's the point that I've kept asking you, because there's one thing for certain. If what we believe about the new birth will not line up to the Bible, and I'm talking about the Bible being the prophet's message and the way he brought it and the understanding of the scriptures and what we're to bring, if it doesn't line up with that, we don't have the new birth. Well, why wouldn't anybody want to be concerned enough about their own soul? You know, and how many times have I made this statement? I'd rather go through life seeking God, come down the end of the road and find out I had him all the time, than to not seek him at all and find out at the end of the road I didn't have him. Well, you can't tell me. I've got him. I've got him. He's living in my heart. Yeah, that's, so does the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Branhamites, the Lulaites, all of them. They've got some way of stating something about the new birth. But now, you don't hear people talk about justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And your prophet said that is the new birth. All right? That was the first message that the Lord Jesus had when he said you must be born again. All right? And see, then we think we've got it already figured out. And when we think we've got it figured out, just remember, if it's right, glory, hallelujah. But you know what? You remember when you used to shout about the Trinity and thought it was true? Come on. You were shouting over it back there thinking it was true. All right. But now what I want to approach it is from what we read from Romans 3 and 25, where it says, for the remission of sins that are past. There's no such thing as praying for future sins. That would be, I think the word is what, novena? Is that it in the Catholic? But anyhow, it means you pray and you go down and tell the priest and give him money and he'd remit your sins before you ever even sinned. All right? Now, we don't believe in that. We don't accept it in that way because there's nothing there to bring us to salvation. All right? So then we don't believe in the fact of it being something that we can pray before it ever happens. No. No, that's impossible. All right? So our main point tonight is what? Forgiveness of sins that are past. Now we're going to read what the prophet says in just a second. So follow that thought. And it's for sins that are past, then we not should not even be concerned about trying to worry about the future. You know, we need to stay with the truth. Okay. Now, listen to what your prophet says. Then we'll get back to our thought of what we're trying to bring. So, all right, let's go to number three. We've quoted number two and number three. Paragraph 78, Brother Branham said he comes to us through three stages. I taught that at the beginning. I've never changed since. It's the Word of God. All right. Now, how many of us thought about the Word of God in relation to justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost? When we were Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, etc., that didn't even teach those things. We just teach the repentance. It was all it was come to the altar, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a born-again Christian. Well, now, if that's true, amen. But now, when your prophet makes a statement about something, we should listen to that statement that he makes to see if we have the correct understanding of what he's saying. Okay, go to number three on your things, and let's just read. I ask you to read The Future Home. And I just wondered, have you read it? But that's all right. You read it off of here anyway. Now, the first step is repentance toward God. Then follows after that is water baptism. Water baptism. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See, water baptism follows showing that repentance was genuine, or to remit our past sins. That has nothing to do with future sins. Now, we remember as we were going through it, there's one thing for sure. We don't believe in water baptism under regeneration. So he's not saying that water baptism remits your sins. It's repentance. Repent and be baptized. It's not you getting something without the repentance. That repentance has got to be the first thing. So he says the first step is repentance toward God. Okay? Then we follow in the water baptism to show that our repentance is genuine. Okay. Now, there's we going through, because we're talking about in stage one of our Christian journey. Yeah, but Brother Dale, I just got it all at one time. I've been over this and over this and over it. You get tired of me going over and over. But did you listen? See? Come on. But look, remit our past sins. That has nothing to do with the future. Now watch. It only remits. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? Remission. Taking away of past sins has nothing to do with the future. Taking away of your past sins, but it has nothing to do with the future. Okay, now listen. It's just your sins has been chopped off. What you did. You can't repent for what Adam done. He never done it all. You just get forgiveness for what you've done. The old nature is still there. Now, are you going to read what he says and believe what he says, or believe your own thoughts and ideas about it? He says it. The old nature is still there. You've repented of your sins. But he says the old nature is still there. Well, I've got everything. When I got to the altar, I've got some things in here where Brother Branham said that if we think we believe that way, if you read The Future Home, he said, and you are having immoral thoughts and things, or your thoughts is wrong and all like that. And he says, and they come back to you, it's a good sign it didn't do any good. You understand what I'm saying? If something comes back in our lives, it didn't stay away. All right? Justification is the first stage of a Christian journey. Okay. It's chopping off of your past sins. It's getting forgiveness of your sins. It has nothing to do with your future. And it does nothing to your nature. Come on. But Brother Dale, I went to the altar and I cried and I prayed and I had this great feeling. I believe in that. All these things happen. I believe in that. But you can do every bit of that and still be lost. What about going through all of the things of Judas Iscariot that went through justification and sanctification and was lost? What about you can go through justification and sanctification and be anointed on your spirit and have all kind of signs and wonders and life livings and doing and preach and cast out devils and heal the sick and all of that and still be, your prophet said, lost? Now, is that the way he taught it? Well, I don't see how you could do all of that and be lost. You talk to the prophet. Talk to God about it. Judas Iscariot done it. Run around and said he did. All right. But you see, we want something with a soft-soaped idea of Christianity that doesn't bother our little petty feelings. But see, that will never work. But what a wonderful thing to think about. What a wonderful opportunity of a human mortal to be able to call out on to God. And God will hear his prayers and forgive his sins. But you see, just because your sins are forgiven doesn't mean you're saved. Well, no, I'm saved because my sins are forgiven. Have you sinned any since your sins were forgiven? And if you tell me you didn't, I'm going to tell you you're a liar and the Bible says you are. For the sins, plural, and I'm going to just tell you up front. See, there's no problem. Because I might as well. You're going to either leave or stay or whatever you're going to do because you're going to make up your own mind. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Your prophet said it had nothing to do with your nature. Right. To repent of your sins, it just chops off those sins. But you know what I love about it? How wonderful it is? You realize, see, we spend half of our life praying about the sins we've done. Now, am I right? Is the biggest portion of your life in repentance been based upon something that was way back yonder? But just remember, if God forgives you your sins, he cannot bring those sins again against you. Because they're put in the sea of forgetfulness. Well, what a wonderful Savior that would do that. That would put our sins so far away until he can't remember it. Amen. Well, if my sins is remitted and I'm saved. Okay. You're saved. But you know what Brother Ryan said? Judas was saved. Because Judas's sins was remitted. Judas become to sanctification. We'll get to a word, the unclean spirit goes out of the thing. But you see, we've never heard it taught to us. We've come down through things, and it's like I said, most are Methodist, Baptist, or whatever. We've never heard it taught of that you needed to come through justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, no, you're a prophet, dear. He's the one that said you're not saved. Right? But listen to what he's saying. First step is repentance toward God. Then follows that is water baptism. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See, water baptism follows showing that repentance was genuine. You remember how I brought that out and dwelled on it so much? What if you refuse to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? What if you refuse to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then God is not obligated to remit your sins. Is that right? I mean, he's not obligated unless we follow his word. But if we follow his word, then he becomes obligated. And what's right? And that has nothing to do. Your repentance is chopping that sin off that you've committed. It has nothing to do with the future. Well, Brother Dale, I've always just thought that I just went to the altar and said, God saved my soul, and he saved my soul. He gave me the new birth. He gave me everything I needed right there. Show me that in the Bible and the prophet's message. I've just went time with you. It took the disciples. You don't like this one, but it did. It took them 3.5 years to get to a situation enough that the Holy Ghost could come on them. Yet they cast out devils, they healed the sick, they done all kind of wonders and miracles. And the Bible said they come back and said, even the devils are subject unto us. Well, are you trying to tell me I'm lost? No. I'm trying to tell you what salvation really is. Salvation starts by a repentant heart. The goodness of God, the Bible says, leads you to repentance. We went through 2 services, I know, were that the basis of showing of the repentance part of it and that how God was calling you. And the Bible says if God don't call you, then you can't come. You can't come just because you want to. God has to call you. Look. That has nothing to do. Remits our past sins. Pull that back up, brothers, where they can read it at least. Number 3. Join us your repentance with genuine or to remit our past sins. That has nothing to do with future sin. There's a direct statement, right? It only remits. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What for? Remission. Taken away of past sins has nothing to do with the future. I didn't say that. He did. Okay? But you're not reading it right. Come on, anybody want to come up here and read it? I mean, that's why I put them up here and let you read it. Because that on the internet, they can't argue it. At least it's up there. I'm saying what he said, because look what he gets down. It chops off. What did it do? You can't repent for what Adam done and all, because you never done it. Adam did. You just got get forgiveness for what you've done. The old nature is still there. Now, you've repented of your sins. You've asked God to forgive you of your sins. But the old nature is still there. So justification is not the new birth. You say, well, look, no, we went through that, so don't come to me with anything. Martin Luther and them had the new birth for their age. In their time. It was the age of justification. It was the age of sanctification. It's the age of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now's the age of the fully revealed word. Right? But look. Look what he says now. Okay, let's continue to read on. So remember now, we're looking for something to be able to say justification took this away. But we're also looking for what it left. No, when I got saved, I got saved. You can't tell me I wasn't saved. No, you're telling your own self that you wouldn't say. Because you're not liking the way that I say things. But am I saying what the prophet said? Well, that wasn't what he meant. Now you get over on that style and just... All right. Look. Now let's just do something with what he's done tonight. Let's do a little bit with it. So we go into paragraph 89 of the Future Home. He said, let me take a board just a minute. Brother Branham draws illustration on the blackboard. Now here's a human heart. Now I'm a long ways from being an artist. Here's a human heart and here's a human heart. Now anybody knows that? He drawed a human heart and he drawed a human heart. Right? Okay. Now watch him. He drawed a human heart. He two human hearts. Here's a human heart. Here's a human heart. This one over here has a snake in it. That's sin. We'll show that in just a second when we get to what it is. Here he has his life. Now he's describing one of those hearts. And he's describing that in that heart is sin. He's describing that in that heart is the snake. The snake is the unclean spirit. Right? We'll read that in a second, so don't worry about it. But I didn't have no snake in me. What did you have? You was born in sin, shaven in iniquity, spouse in your mother's womb, went forth a liar. What was in you? Yeah, but I come with this seed in me. See, all that went in there to deteriorate away from the teaching of the new birth. That was the purpose of that. All that being brought out was to stop the new birth from being taught. I don't have to go through justification, sanctification, baptism. I just believe the prophet's message. If you believe the prophet's message, that's what we're reading. So now you just made your own self a liar. Oh, you're tough. What tough? What are you? Come on. This one here has a snake in it. That's sin. Here he has his life. This one over here has a dove in it, which is the Holy Spirit. Here he has a life. Well, this one here, he has malice, hatred, envy. That's what's causing it. Is that fella here? What's causing the hatred, the envies, the problem? That fella. What fella? The snake. The unclean spirit. Okay, we'll show it in just a second. Come on. Well, this one over here has love and joy and long-suffering. That's what does it down here. Now watch it. Now when you ask, now listen to your repentance. When you ask, or you are forgiven of your sins, now hold on to it. You only done this. Now what'd you do? Taking that away. Taking what away? We'll show the picture of it in just a second, all right? But the thing that made you do it is still there. You mean when you ask God to forgive you of your sins, and he chopped your sins totally off, If he didn't come right there and fill you with the Holy Ghost, you still have the devil inside of you, called a snake. Well, boy, I don't. That's what I'm saying. You turn down the very word that can save you. But the thing that made you do it is still there. That's the old root of evil. It's still there. Notice in your baptism, he'll forgive you for your sins. Now, let's pull up that drawing. We made a drawing. Now, it's not Brother Branham's drawing. We made a drawing to represent. All right? So, what is mankind when he's born in sin, shaven in iniquity, he's went forth a liar. He's a sinner. What is he? Who's this guy? The old root of evil. The unclean spirit Jesus spoke of. Goeth out of a man, well, because that's sanctification. See, that's the next message. All right, look. Sin. What did he say over here? He said, here is a man. He said, he's got an unclean spirit. The root of evil is still in him. And said, he's got sin. All right? What does justification do to that person? It only remits his sins. Now, come on, we just read, the prophet said, the old root of evil don't go out. It's still there. What caused you to do it is still there. All right? Now, here's sin. So, remember he's saying these little things? You go back and you read it. The little things, you see. What did he draw? This is sin, little lines. Okay, pull it to the next stage, and what do we see? When you repent of your sins, what has happened? This guy's still there. That's what your prophet just said. Now, come on, read it. You got the quotes in front of you. Faith tries to replace the basis of our sin, because that's where sin has gone out, by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. So that sin that we had is taken out by the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith in God's word. It brings us to a place called justification, which really all justification does is chops off your past sins. It does nothing to your nature. We just read it, future home. That unclean spirit is still left. That old root of evil. Now, I'll save you a little trouble when you start to. Don't try to look up root of evil in the Bible. You won't find it exactly the way Brother Brown uses the wording. I like the way he uses the wording. The unclean spirit is in the Bible. But the root of evil is a little different. So I'm just telling you, try to save you a little trouble and to help you. But it don't, you know. But look. See, you've asked God to forgive your sins. And your sins are remitted. By faith in the blood. But what caused you to do it is still there. See, that unclean spirit stays in there. Just because you're repentant of your sins, because God forgive your sins, it doesn't make you straight. Come on, you want to back up? Let's back up and do it. Come on. Go back over, brothers, so that people won't say, well, Brother Dale, you done this, that. Back up to number 3 and let's reread. You got your quotes laying in front of you. Let's reread it. All right? And see if what I was saying about this part over here that the sin goes out, but the unclean spirit, the thing that caused you to sin, is still in you, even though your sins are remitted. Because it doesn't remit future sins. You got to get forgiveness every day of your sins. Even after you're born again,
right.
Paul taught a daily sanctification.
Amen.
A daily cleansing after you're born again.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
First step, repentance towards God. It follows after that, water baptism. Water baptism, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See, water baptism follows showing that repentance was genuine, or to remit our past sins. Has nothing to do with the future sin. It only remits, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What for? Remission. Taken away of past sins has nothing to do with the future. Is that enough? Just your sins has been chopped off. What you did, you don't have to repent for this, Adam. And I, the old nature is still there. Okay. Come on. Go to 89, the next one. We're on 88, go to 89. Let's take a board just for a moment. Brother Brown draws it a board. Here is a human heart. Now, here's a human heart, and here's a human heart. Number one heart has a snake in it. Now, is that in the drawing that the snake is still there even though you've repented? That's what he just said. Here's a human heart. This one over here has a snake in it. That's sin. Now, it's not just to say the snake is sin. To me, when he says that's sin, that's them little wiggle things that we took out over there before that was called sin. That's sin. Does nothing to the nature of the person. Just look back at your drawing and you'll see it change from sin to faith. Right? Here he has his life. This one over here has a dove in it, which is the Holy Spirit. Here he has a life. See, that's a human being. A life is a human being, right? And one of these human beings had a snake in him. The other human being had a dove in him. Right? Now we got to get rid of the snake. You can't have the dove and the snake in the same place. I know you don't like it, but that's why I never did like the two soul people. Because they said, God give you a soul, Satan give you a soul. And Brother Brown said, Satan cannot create. He can't give you a soul, so that's automatically out. Come on. Well, this one here has malice. Now, which one of them two has malice? The one with the snake has malice, envy, and that's what's causing it. Is this fella here? What's causing it? The fella, the snake. What's causing us to go wrong? The snake. I ain't got no snake in me. I'm talking about the devil. As the snake. The prophet is talking about the devil as a snake, not you got a snake inside of your soul. Come on. Well, this one over here has love, joy. That's easy to tell which one's which. And look, and that's what does it down here. What does it? What makes this one have love and joy? The dove. What makes this one have malice and hatred? And the snake. Okay. Come on. And when you're asked, in other words, when you repent of your sins, now when you're asked, are you forgiven of your sins? You only done this. Now watch him. Taken that away. What did it take away? Sin. Sin's the only thing that went out at justification. Come on, that's what your prophet is saying. Taking that away. What? Sin. Whatever you want to make you draw it and do this, that, and the other with it, you do what you want to. But just remember, read what he says. Don't do like we done one time in a minister's meeting, and there was two authentic papers that Brother Branham had put out. And this brother come up and wrote this other one, boy, and he made this. And everybody in there said, wait a minute, brother, that ain't even nothing about what the prophet had to say. But that's what he had to say. He didn't care what the prophet said. Come on. You're forgiven of your sins. You only done this. Taking that away. What'd you take away? Sin. Sin. Flick it back over to where we was, where we can get it. And what does it wind up being? No, the click of the heart. Number. Yeah, there it is. See? We took out sin and tried to put something else in place. What? Because your sin goes out through the faith that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You agree to that? Not your what you do or how you do that. It's the repentance for the sin. Justification. All right, jump back to where we were now. Back on number 4, I guess. And when you're asked, you are forgiven of your sins, you only done this, taking that away. But the thing that made you do it is still there. That's the old root of evil. It's still there. So after you have repented of your sins, if you don't immediately go straight through into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and Brother Branham said very few people will, that's his words, that's all right. If we don't get something there, we ain't drove that thing out yet. It's still in there. You repent of your sins. You went to the altar. You cried. You prayed. You said, I love you, Lord. All that's wonderful. Forgive me of my sins. All that's great. But that didn't take that unclean spirit out. I didn't say that. I just don't like your attitude anyways. I don't like yours either. So what does that do? Does that solve any problems? And when you ask, you're only forgiven of your sins. You've only done this, taken that away. But the thing that made you do it is still there. That's the old root of evil. It's still there. So now remember the disciples believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm quoting Brother Branham. Part of it's in the future home, almost verbatim word. The disciples repented of their sins. But it took sanctification to drive out the unclean spirit. Right? It took St. John 17:17, I think's right. To do what? Now come back with the heart. Okay? So after you repented of your sins, the old thing that made you do it is still there. You don't like that. I can tell on the faces. I can read faces. I don't have to have discernment. I can read faces. When your face goes from somewhere in there, there's some different. Okay? That's your business. The prophet says what made you do it is still there. Okay? Now what are we going to do with that guy? How are we going to get him out? See, one of these days you're going to understand why Brother Dale emphatically keeps stating every service almost, the new birth is the birth of the Word. Only the birth of the Word is going to drive the devil out of you. Did you listen? Only the birth of the word can drive the devil out. No, we lay hands on and cast them out. Show me in the Bible where the disciples had to have hands laid on them and cast the devil out of them to get the new birth. They didn't have to lay hands on the 3,000 outside and get them to go through no stages to cast the devil out of them. They didn't have to do it at the house of Cornelius. It was the word that drove the devil out. It's the word right now that'll drive the devil out of me and you. And only the word. That unclean spirit's going to stay there until we realize, number one, that it's there. Because if you don't believe it's there, you ain't going to ask God to forgive you. Okay, go ahead to the next one that we got. One of that number. Pull up the next one. It takes the snake out. Sanctification is the unclean spirit that's drove out of the man. That's sanctification. You say, oh, I don't know. Okay. Read number 7. Go to number 7. Keep in mind now, we got him clean. How does he get clean? And notice, sanctification, the third stage, second stage of it, cleanses the mind, sets the heart, the mind of the heart, in order of holiness. The cleansing of by the word. Washed by the water of the word. Amen. Come on. And a man can repent of sins he's still thinking of. Now listen to what he's describing. Maybe he's an immoral man. Now this is justification. Come on. A man can repent of his sins. Justification. Immoral woman, looking woman, he finds, is still there. Maybe he's a drunkard. Every time he smells a drink, it's still there. Justification don't take the snake out. It don't take out what's causing you to do those things wrong. It only chops off the sins of that person that has you've committed. The past. Listen. But when he gets sanctified, cleansed and set aside for service, right? That cleanses that desire out of him. The desire for the woman, the desire for the drinking, it's going out. What by? You ought to know and realize what I'm fixing to say is God's honest truth and fall on your face and cry out for thanks. You realize that when God remitted your sins, he was standing right there to cleanse us of all things and take away all of those things. He was there to do it right then, but we didn't have anybody to help us really. Or to know what to do ourselves. But you know yourself. Now listen, can I quote some of your experiences? Some of you have told your experiences to me. Some of you wrote them out. Some of you have done what? That in your life you realized that you come to a knowledge within you of how wrong it was.
That's right.
Amen. And you ask God to forgive you. Yes. And a great spirit of relief come upon you.
Amen.
That unclean spirit is going out. But just remember now, if you don't keep him out, he's coming back. And the Bible says his state in the second is 7 times, I believe 7 times, worse than the first. You realize where we're at, first? Cleanses that desire out of him. It takes a want of it away. Now watch him. I love the prophet that he knows what the human element is. It takes away the want of it. Just because you get the want of it gone, don't think you can go back and just take that. Oh, it don't bother me to go into a beer joint and sit around and talk to them about the Lord. while they drank their beer. You poor human being. You're as bad as a guy was at work. He didn't drink. He didn't do things. But every night, them guys would go over to the liquor store. I'm not joking, you know. He'd come back with a bottle. They had a bottle. His was a Coke. Theirs was liquor. I asked him one day, I said, if I'm standing out in front of the place and I'm looking and your buddy comes out, you got a brown sack and he's got a brown sack, how am I going to know who's drinking beer or liquor or whatever? I said, you got it in your heart, you want to drink, but you also know your wife will kick you out the door if you do. That was as honest as I could say to the man, because that was exactly what was happening. He wanted to drink, but he had enough control. I said, why don't you just go in and come walking back out with no beer can, no brown paper bag? See, he knew I was hitting him right. See, it takes the one of it away. He can still be tempted, but he takes the one of it away. Still, even though he takes the one of it away. Now, what does he say? Still, he's not right yet.
That's right. Amen.
Because he ain't got the vessel full.
Right.
Then he is baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Why does it say it like that? Holy Ghost and fire. Fire and the Holy Ghost. You'll get to that one of these years. Then he's baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Cleansed, burnt out, cleaned up, and then put into the service of God. Sanctification only sets them aside for service. What about it, church? Well, see, sanctification gets rid of that unclean spirit. What your prophet says, go back and read over and over till you get what he's saying. It takes out the want of those things, but yet it doesn't fill you up. Now, how many of you can remember when you got saved? You went to the altar, and you got up from there, and listen, church, I'm trying to be honest the best I can, but you got up crying and praying and thanking God for saving you. And you went home. And for a while, you done okay. But after a while, you started easing back again. Smoking or drinking or something. See, what you've done is what has happened. The Bible says the unclean spirit will come back. Now listen. Let's see if I can get it. He comes back to his house. You know that? You know the Bible says that? I didn't give him these, so that's okay. Matthew 12:44. And 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh in dry places, seeketh rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he comes, he findeth it empty and garnished, swept and garnished. Luke says, and when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walked in a dry place, finds none, returning to my house, which I came out. My house. This used to be the house of the devil.
Right.
Our very body beings of all, body, soul, and spirit was lost. We belong to Satan. You remember in the book of Ruth, when it come down to that there was one closer kin than Boaz? That's the devil, Brother Branham said, was closer kin to you and me. Oh, but don't threaten. You're hurting my kids. My kids don't need to learn these things. What do they need to learn? Send them to sex education and let them learn. Send them to school and let them learn. And I ain't against going to school. But you know what I just said is right. They teach them in school what they want them to know. Right. So go ahead. Do you want to know the plan of salvation? Or do you want to know are you satisfied with your own ideas and thoughts? The unclean spirit goeth out of a man. And when it does, bring that one up where it's pure and clean. We put one more in that one. Bring up the soul. All right, back up one. There you go. Root of evil goes out. Matthew 12, if you go to Scripture. The unclean spirit. Sanctification. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that's what you got. But that's the most dangerous stage to any Christian that has ever been. Because if you don't get that full, fast, quick, Satan's coming back. There's only one way to drive him out. See, I never knew these things when I was become finally a Christian, 18 years of age when I joined the Baptist church. I didn't know anything about washed by the water of the word and those things. But I had a desire in my heart to know God's word. I had a desire to know his word, to study it, to read it, and try to understand it. I started reading the word. You know how to keep a devil out? Read God's word and quote that word back to the devil. If you want him to be drove out and keep him out, just keep quoting the word back to him. And you know what I say, Satan? I know, and I'm quoting Brother Branham, no human mortal can withstand the devil. Right? Do you need that quote? That's a paraphrase. It's close. Very close. No human being is a match for the devil. Oh, but Brother Branham was. If that demon hadn't got a hold of me when I was 12 years old, I would have been converted. That's a direct quote your prophet just said. So you mean Brother Branham had a demon in there? Yeah. Sure did. He had a snake just like the rest of us. But by being a prophet, he knew how to handle God's word. Satan comes to you and starts telling you how dirty you are. Best thing to do is disagree with him. Because if you fuss with him, they ain't going to do no good. He's the author of a fuss. You know what I mean? He loves it that way. Don't argue with him. Just say, Satan, you're right. But said, Jesus Christ saved my soul. And he says here in the word, if I believe and accept him, he'll take care of everything that I do or have done. He'll cover it all. And he'll cleanse me. See, that unclean spirit has got to be taken out. Because that's the old root of evil. That's the snake. That according to the book of Ruth, it was more kin to us than Jesus Christ. Right? Because we're born kinfolks to the devil. I just don't understand you. You just make things just too plain, too blunt. When this world's over with, I'll have my reward. Because I can stand before every one of you at judgment and declare, I tried to tell you the truth. I tried. Failure? Yeah. Failure, always a failure. Yep. Brother Dale, do you live a good life? No. It takes Christ to be a Christian. Let's see, Brother Ryan said it takes God to be a Christian. God to be, what do they say? And Christ to be a Christian. It's one way or the other. You see, that's why that unclean spirit has got to be driven out. But you've got to get something in the place of it. Now, those disciples for 3.5 years had that demon drove out of them. Right. One day, God came to live. We'll get back into it. You read the future home. Study it. Listen to it. See, this world has come through justification. Right? Am I in the future home? The days of Noah that was washed by the water. The days of the Lord Jesus, the blood dropped back upon the earth to cleanse and claim it. And one of these days it's going to get a fiery baptism. And see, what I love about it, we've already stepped ahead. Because we can already go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And stand here and say, we are the redeemed. Amen. It's not what you and I can do. It's not it. It's what he's already done. Right. Brother Dale, do you ever do wrong? You ever have a wrong thought? I stand right here preaching, and them things bounce off. I'm human. What I do, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let me know where I stand. You know, you have wrong thoughts. Can I quote the prophet? Brother Branham, do you sin? He said, every day. The Bible says, for the sins of the people. Brother Brown said, sinners don't have sins. They have sin. Sinners don't have sins. They have sin. Christians.